The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
In this episode, we are going to talk about masks. We are going to continue our conversation about these little devices. They're everywhere. They're omnipresent in the U.S. and I'm sure in other parts of the world as well. We're going to talk about the different types of masks. We're going to talk about a very specific aspect of masks and respirators. And we are going to talk about why you should not permit them to be used for COVID-19 protection. So let's get into today's episode.
Welcome to the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, helping you manage safety one episode at a time. With the constant regulatory and workplace culture challenges businesses face, we'll provide you with all the relevant information necessary to achieve a safer, more productive workplace. No management theories, platitudes, or guru speak, just actionable info you can use right away. Now here's your host, the Safety Pro himself, Blaine Hoffman.
Welcome back to the Safety Pro Podcast. Masks continue to be a hot topic. I recently posted on LinkedIn something about a valve, a one-way valve or an exhalation valve on a mask, and why you should not permit those to be used when the mask is being used for COVID-19 protection. So I was very clear on the context of my comment. And I was shocked, actually surprised, at the confusion that even safety professionals have around respiratory protection, why it's required, understanding the hazards we are trying to protect people from. And, I thought, hey, I'll record this and I'll see what kind of feedback I get on this episode. So I'll start with, the obvious. I posted that you should not permit exhalation valves when the mask is used for COVID-19 because the valve opens up and, you guessed it, it allows exhaled air that's unfiltered to escape. You could potentially be allowing particulates that are expelled from the wearer to get into the area around them. And the whole point of wearing a mask for COVID-19 protection is the opposite of what we are used to when it comes to respiratory protection in the safety, in workplace safety. Again, I'm talking about the workplace context, but this applies everywhere if you think about it. So let's start with the workplace and then we'll go from there. Okay, typically we have a respirable hazard in the environment and we don't want employees to be exposed, so we will put them in a respirator or some sort of a mask. Maybe it's just nuisance reduction, right? So the confusion comes in when we say, okay, the mask has to be N95 or it has to meet some sort of rating for even particulates in the environment, and that could require a lot of labor in breathing in and exhaling, and because we want it to be tight-fitting, exhaling could be an issue as well. So a lot of these respirators, and even masks, I'll get to that in a second, they have an exhalation valve or a one-way valve that will open up and let, the hot, moist air that you're exhaling come out easier, so it helps in hot environments. It also helps ease the labor involved. Now, that makes perfect sense. When the hazard is outside and the wearer could be breathing it in. But in the COVID-19 case, it is the opposite. The reason we are told we should be wearing masks or face coverings is not to protect the wearer from environmental hazards. It's to protect the environment around them from the hazards the wearer is introducing. That is the key. You have to wrap your head around that for any of this to work properly. Remember, the guidance to wear a mask or face covering during COVID-19 is to prevent the wearer from expressing droplets of saliva or mucus in the event of a cough or a sneeze into the general environment, potentially infecting other people. You're basically wearing a catcher's mitt on your face. That is the purpose of wearing a mask or a face covering. Now, masks, your face coverings, respirators, we kind of covered that in a previous episode, but it's still confusing to some. And I for the life of me, I really don't understand why that in our community among safety professionals, why it's difficult for us to wrap our heads around this. Now, wearing a tight-fitting respirator, you know, that is not recommended for COVID-19 because all you're trying to do, as I had already stated, is keep the wearer from, you know, when they talk, cough, or sneeze, to just be expelling droplets of spit, saliva, right, mucus, things like that, into the general environment. And for this to work, everybody in that environment has to wear a mask or face covering, period. Because if you're wearing a mask and or a face covering and I'm not, your mask or face covering is not tight fitting. It's loose. It will allow air to come in and around the filtering media because the primary purpose is not filtering. The primary purpose is catching. That's why you just have to accept that part. And I still see this online. I still hear, and I've had conversations with safety professionals that go to their default training, default understanding of respiratory protection, and you have to let that go. You can't hold on to that, okay? Not in this case. So now we come to the one-way valve. How did this come up? I started seeing these, yes, N95 respirators, the paper type respirators with the little one-way valve, but also I had this conversation on my post with a professional, and I had to tell this individual, no, the comment they made was, hey, you keep saying masks, and we as professionals need to make sure we're using the right language. And I'm like, oh my God, it's a word nerd, right? And I was very clear. I said masks. This individual said, masks don't have one-way valves. Oh, I did the facepalm and said, please, everybody, stop posting things that don't make sense. I'm here to tell you right now, I see it every single day. Not respirators, but masks that are classified as masks with one-way valves. I see them all the time. I've even seen these. They sell these for like sports training, and they make these little doomsday masks, like, you know, filter out particulates and allergens and things. And when you're riding your bike through the city, and they market these things, they're just masks with a filter media. They are not classified as respirators in, you know, the strict definition of the term that we safety professionals understand. These are masks, and they, yes, contain one-way valves. Okay, face coverings, not so much. It's usually just a cloth that goes over the face. But masks and respirators can both have one-way valves. All right, I even had one that said, do you have any data? Come on. All right, fine. I'll post some data, and I'll have some links in here for that as well. So let's talk about that. Let's go to 3M. 3M makes a lot of this stuff, right? All of this protective gear. And I'll have a link to their FAQ page, their technical bulletin that they published. Respirators and surgical masks. There's a contrast between the two, and they posted that. I also have a one. It's not a one-pager, actually. It is revised April 2020 from their respiratory protection FAQ for healthcare. So let's go all the way down to respirators versus masks. What's the difference? Again, We talked about that in a previous episode. I'm not going to rehash that. But what was interesting, they have in their FAQ a very specific question. Can a respirator with a valve be effective against bioaerosols? They also have a document called Respiratory Protection FAQ General Public. Scrolling down, do I need a surgical respirator? What's the difference between a mask and a respirator? Again, we're not going to rehash that. How they work, how respirators work. Can a surgical mask, microfiber cloth, or wet handkerchief protect against small particles? They answer that one. But look, do valves on respirators impact their effectiveness? Reading verbatim from 3M. The purpose of a respirator's exhalation valve is to reduce the breathing resistance during exhale. It does not impact a respirator's ability to provide respiratory protection. The valve is designed to open during exhalation to allow exhaled air to exit the respirator and then close tightly during inhalation, so inhaled air is not permitted to enter the respirator through the valve. We get that. This is traditional respiratory protection. I need to be able to make it easy for me to exhale so it's not as laborious and we can make it efficient. But inhaling, I need to be able to run all the air. It's got to be tight-fitting and sealed. So all of the air I'm inhaling has to go through this filter media so that I am protected. But remember, for COVID-19, it's the opposite. Next paragraph. Pay attention. While a valve does not change a respirator's ability to reduce a wearer's exposure to bioaerosols, a person who is exhibiting symptoms of illness should not wear a valved respirator because exhaled particles may leave the respirator via the valve and enter the surrounding environment, potentially exposing other people. Boom, there you go. So that's 3M. Let's switch gears. Let's go to the CDC, right? Their page for PPE questions and answers. And I'll have a link to this one as well in the show notes. Under respirators, so they have PPE questions and answers for gowns, gloves, and then they have one for respirators. So if you go to that section, my N95 respirator has an exhalation valve. Is that okay? Answer, an N95 respirator with an exhalation valve does provide the same level of protection to the wearer as one that does not have a valve. The presence of an exhalation valve reduces exhalation resistance, which makes it easier to breathe. Some users feel that a respirator with an exhalation valve keeps the face cooler and reduces moisture buildup inside the face piece. However, respirators with exhalation valves should not be used in situations where a sterile field must be maintained. Example, during an invasive procedure in an operating or procedure room, because the exhalation valve allows unfiltered exhaled air to escape into the sterile field. So we have evidence. We know that this is a problem, that this could be an issue. So there's two sort, right? CDC, 3M themselves also, through their testing and design, understand this. So note, they said, in both of those cases, they referred to respirators, right? If you take an exhalation valve and throw it on a mask, you're getting the same result. So don't get hung up on respirator, mask, face covering. The reason we are wearing them in the context of COVID-19 is the opposite of what you normally would think for a respirator mask or face covering. We are preventing things from getting out from the wearer into the environment. And again, I have to stress this, it only works if 100% of people in that area, in the workplace, if 100% of them are wearing it, this is the only way it works. The presumption is, according to all of the guidance, right, from the medical community, the CDC, our government, if you take it all at face value, and that's what we're doing here, we're looking at the guidance. We're not here to discuss the politics of this. This is science. This is medicine, okay? If we're saying that you can be asymptomatic and still be contagious, then you have to have everybody wearing a mask or face covering. Because when you talk, you spit, and you have to maintain 6 feet. Now, this is key. The face covering and mask, it's in addition to the other guidelines. You don't get to replace another guideline because you have a mask on. You don't get to say, oh, well, hey, I'm 3 feet away from this person because we both have a mask. Nope. You still all have to maintain 6 feet. So back to masks. We have to assume everybody is carrying this or is contagious. So that's the only way it works, which is why I scratch my head, again, in the context of the workplace, not public health, okay? But a grocery store is still a workplace. And when you say, as a grocery store manager or operator, whether it's a big chain or a small one, when you say, well, I'll make all of my workers wear a mask, that instills confidence in the buying public, and my customers that come in would feel better. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter if none of the customers are wearing a mask. It doesn't matter. Sure, you're wearing gloves and you're wearing a mask or a face covering as a worker. And when you're stocking shelves, maybe I have an increased level of confidence in, you know, the product. I don't know how it got here. I don't know what truck. I don't know how you store it in the back. You're wearing the same gloves all day, loading this shelf. And then you go and you throw some apples in a bin and touch those. I mean, so there's cross-contamination. I understand the effort. I understand the purpose behind the effort. That doesn't mean just because some grocery store worker doesn't understand cross-contamination and doesn't change gloves between different products that they are stocking on the shelf or touching, or then grab the cart and then touch the dirty handle on the cart, the stock cart, and then touches boxes, how they don't understand. That 16-year-old, 15-year-old kid doesn't understand cross-contamination. Let that go for a moment, okay? Let that go for a moment. Yeah, I get it. And it's something that we're trained to understand in risk management and then mitigate that risk. But what they're telling these workers is, hey, look, you just don't want to touch stuff with your bare hands, okay? You want to be covering your hands because, again, it's the opposite of what you would think for COVID-19, or what you would think for PPE. In the context of COVID-19, yeah, we're trying to put gloves on these individuals so that they don't get contaminated. So face coverings and masks are the opposite of what you would, you know, consider for normal respiratory protection in the case of COVID-19, as we've discussed, and I'm going to continue to beat that drum. But the gloves, right? The gloves are the same. Here's the purpose of the gloves. The gloves, And this is what is amazing. Follow me on this here as I go down this road and just talking through this and thinking out loud with you all here. It's funny how the public and even safety professionals can recognize that failure with the gloves, right? Wait, the purpose of wearing the gloves is to protect keep people safe from COVID-19. Well, that worker is touching all of these things with the glove and cross-contaminating. Yet we can't wrap our heads around the reason why we're wearing a respirator mask or face covering. I don't get it. No, the gloves are to protect the wearer from getting potentially coming into contact with potentially infectious material, things like that, right? It isn't to protect the product. So what we do is, you know, I posted this on LinkedIn about the masks and respirators, and everybody automatically flips to, you know, traditional respiratory protection. And yet when we see somebody wearing a pair of gloves and touching multiple surfaces, we automatically go right to cross-contamination. And I'm like, oh, wait, why? What are you talking about? Well, if the reason why we're wearing gloves is so that wearer doesn't contaminate something, I'm like, no, that's what you need to think when you look at respirators, masks, and face coverings. That's the logic you need to have. With the gloves, it's actually traditional PPE for gloves, right? it is traditional protection. That is, I don't want the wearer to be picking anything up on their skin. They would then touch their eye, mouth, nose, whatever, or later on do that. It's not to protect all the products, right? It's not. You should be cleaning these and wiping these down if that's the case. It's, you know, so we get hung up on a lot of minutia here on these when we just need a better understanding. And if this pandemic taught us as safety professionals anything, it is that we need to be flexible. We have to have the ability to adapt and learn. And this fixed mindset of, nope, a respirator is for X and that's it. And no, we need to be flexible. The reason why we're wearing these is not normally why we would have people in these devices. The gloves, on the other hand, is to protect the wearer. Because if you think about it, every single box in that case at the grocery store that individual is picking up and putting on the shelf, they would need a new pair of gloves. I mean, technically, right? So, you know, take a deep breath, relax. Let's get back to face coverings, masks, and respirators. My whole point was on LinkedIn and also with this episode is to say one-way valves, don't allow them, period. Not in the workplace. Not for COVID-19, okay? Keep that in mind. So a lot of companies are doing this. There are cities that have banned these as well. Many countries have prohibited masks with valves and respirators with valves during the pandemic because of this. It's well documented. I'm surprised that more of us have not caught on to this potential exposure route. And yes, non-NIOSH rated or approved respirators have exhalation valves. I've seen them. I see them every day. I'll post a picture of them in this podcast show notes for the post on my blog on this, okay? And I'll also have a link to the discussion thread on LinkedIn. I think a lot of you would be surprised to hear, to see the direction that conversation went, and I kept pulling people back. Nope, it's the opposite of what you just said. Nope, masks do have one-way valves, not just respirators. So we can be better than this. We are supposed to be the subject matter experts when it comes to PPE and protecting against contagions. And how you don't have to be, you know, sort of virologist. Is that the right word? Virologist? I'm going to look that one up. I think you know what I'm saying, though. All right. You don't have to have a medical degree or be an epidemiologist or, you know, a biology degree to understand this. We have a hazard, right? We have a known hazard and people are carrying this and it's coming out of their mouths when they talk and when they breathe. So keep that in mind. Also, when you roll up on workers and have that mask or face covering below their nose, they're doing it wrong. If when they go to talk to you, they grab the mask and pull it down a little so they can talk, they're doing it wrong. You be responsible. Encourage others to be responsible, to say, hey, do me a favor, keep your mouth and nose covered, and we can have this conversation. That's actually when you need the protection over your face, is when you're talking, because I don't want you spitting on me. And guess what? That drop can, and we've all been there, we've all had conversations where we're in a meeting and somebody's talking and we feel that little tiny little drop of spittle on our cheek or on our arm. It's gross now, right? When we think about it. And it was gross then, but what about the eye? So we don't have eye protection. Have that face, that nose and mouth covered appropriately all the time. And everybody has to wear it. Somebody without a face covering coughs or sneezes, the tiny particles that are suspended a little longer in the air, that face covering and you know, exam mask is not tight fitting. It is not going to filter that out. It's not. When you breathe it in. So everybody has to wear one. There are no exceptions. Okay. You also need to look at your accommodation process and policy to accommodate for medical reasons. So let's say a doctor says, I don't want this person wearing a mask or even a face covering. They have severe asthma. you can't let them in the workplace without a mask because of that. They may need an accommodation request submitted and a, you know, medical leave or something. I mean, you have this is causing us to think completely differently about accommodations in the workplace and PPE in the workplace. It isn't like you can just have them work over in that area or doing that process. You don't need a dust mask or you don't need a face covering or a respirator. Everybody in the workplace 100% of the time wear one. We do take them down, of course, to eat lunch. That's why we do the, you know, extreme separation and barriers in those cases. Look, it's not foolproof. It's not 100%, but when you're in the workplace working and commingling and talking and communicating, we have to wear these on. And yes, I hear you. I mentioned break rooms. These same people then go sit in the same break room and take it down and eat and talk and laugh and all this good stuff. Yeah, look, don't be that person. It's easy to go down that road and go, well, then we shouldn't have to wear them at all because this one point in time, we have some people that don't have them on. I get it. I do. I understand. We've got to rise above that. We've got to be coaches. We've got to educate. We know we're going to have employees walk up and say, this is fake science. I've heard, seen comments on Facebook and everything. Look, stay off of Facebook then. Stay off of Twitter. Especially, oh, Twitter's a mess. This is very clear. The guidance is clear. That's what we have to follow. So I wanted to share this topic, see what you thought. I would love to hear your comments on one-way valves, on masks and respirators. What do you think about face coverings in general as well? And let's get a conversation started. Let's continue to fight the good fight. Let's continue to be the subject matter experts on all things PPE and with the variety of hazards, internal and external. And like I said, we got to be flexible. We've got to be able to pivot. We have to stay a step ahead of all of these. We have to show the value we bring to the organization as safety professionals in protecting our people, to continue to protect our people from all sorts of hazards while they continue to do the hard work to serve our communities. So look, I want to hear what you have to say. Join me on LinkedIn. If we're not connected on LinkedIn, let's connect. Send me a connection request. The vast majority of connection requests I get daily are from this podcast. So it's a great medium. I appreciate you listening. And again, valves, don't allow them, period. And I look forward to talking to you on the next Safety Pro Podcast episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, the all-in-one digital safety solution. For info on how you can request a free demo on all the capabilities of iReport Source to streamline your business's safety management system, head over to thesafetypropodcast.com. We look forward to helping you manage safety on the next episode of the Safety Pro Podcast.